This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh, together with Sharitz Abdullah, and this is the morning run on BFM 89.9. It's slightly over 6 a.m. on February 7th, 2019, the third day of the Lunar New Year, and we'd like to wish all of you who celebrate Gong Xi Fa Chai and hope you manage to collect lots of ang paos and feast it to your stomach's content. How was your two-day break, Sharitz?
Good. Not the best, unfortunately.
I was
a bit under the weather. So finally, the bug that my daughter had finally caught on me. Overall, you know, I managed to catch up with a lot of friends. Unfortunately, they're all busy with their families and their parents. So I think they're going to leave that slot for friends probably over the weekend or something. How about you, Joyce? How was your Chinese New Year?
Good. Nonstop eating, busy. Just catching up with family. Not so much friends yet. I think that will come in only over the weekend. Just eating nonstop and just spending some time with family. Family's visiting.
How about your kids? Are they happy with their ang pao collection and stuff?
Yes, very much. And it's still coming in because it's still Chinese New Year.
Cool. I mean, that's nice.
Yeah, so we're going to be discussing some interesting stories that caught our eye in the next hour. What are we going to be talking about, Shreds?
Right. So first, we just came back from a long break. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Chinese New Year, and most of the time, as usual, festive season like this, it's about spending time with the family, especially with their parents. Some of us don't live with them, and they look forward to meet their parents, but not all are fortunate in that sense. There are some parents out there who are sort of neglected. So we came across, our minister has spoken about this. So whether or not government should intervene about this.
Okay, speaking about government, over the weekend, the youth minister, Syed Saddiq, received some flak for apparently not keeping to his promise to promote a local product. So I guess the question here is, should ministers be in the business of promoting specific goods? Not so much of just promoting generally, like, go local lah, hashtag kind of Malaysian goods, but specific goods. Should ministers do that? I think that's a question that a lot of people are asking.
Interesting. And also, what we're going to talk about is, despite high-tech phones, apps, and, we have broadbands available, abundant now, and online retail shopping flourishing. Apparently, it's not the case for online grocery shopping, Joyce. So, at least in the US. So we just want to know what's stopping people from buying online despite all this development and stuff.
You'd think that everybody's buying a lot of stuff online, right?
I mean, definitely e-commerce is flourishing. But when they zoom in specifically for grocery shopping, apparently the numbers are not the case.
Okay, but first, given that this is a short work week, has that boosted or dampened your productivity? We'll discuss this and more after this song, I'm Still Standing by Elton John. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Joyce and Sharitz here with you. That's Live and Let Die by Paul McCartney and Wings. Well, speaking about living, I know a number of people out there who live for long weekends, or in other words, live for a shorter work week. And I think they could be onto something, as recent research charts show that Germany is more productive, but workers have fewer hours on average compared to the UK. Meanwhile, I think Mexico and Greece, they are less productive, but they work more, I guess, more hours than workers in Britain. So there's this new study that's come out from this think tank, Autonomy, and they suggest that, there's no correlation between long working hours and productivity. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a nice feeling to finish your work early and, being able to spend time with your family and friends. But, it begs that question whether or not, what's the point of making money when you don't have time to spend it? Right. I mean, for many of us, we spend so much time at work, trying to supposedly make an honest living and stuff. And at the end of the day, many of those middle income earners, at the end of the day, they won't even have time to spend money. Mm-hmm. For example, even sit down and watch. I mean, one example for me, at least, is like Netflix. I start questioning whether or not should I continue subscribing because I don't even have time to watch it.
True. And, everyone's very busy right now. And sometimes it's work, but it's also a lot of other things that's happening. But do you think that, in this case, what they're saying is that this recent research points out that, a shorter work week could help the exhausted workforce and boost economy. So in relation, so what they're saying is that, you know, potentially, you know, there's a growing consensus that a shorter working week should be part of a new economy and a new deal for working Britain. But they're saying without a loss in pay. I'm not sure if a lot of employers would be open to that, though.
But
to
why pay, not, though? I mean...
why not?
Yeah.
Because they're all about making sure that their employees... I don't know, maybe it's an online concept as well. They think that if their employees are working a shorter work week, they're doing less. Yeah. But that may not be the case, right? But it also depends on the industry or what kind of work they do.
True.
Right? Yeah? Because you can have some workers in the office until... like, let's say you start work at 9 and they're in the office until... I guess midnight, but they're on Facebook all the time or on their social media all the time. Is that work, right?
Yeah,
is that productive work?
That's right.
Or just to show face. You know, the whole Asian culture, they stay back just to show face, to show that they're actually in office, they're working so late. But are they really?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're spending time on social media. I mean, that's probably a few hours. But at the same time, when we say why not, is that, look, apparently back then when we were first introduced to technology, one of the few things that people pitch in as to why we should transform our work processes, you know, introduce new technology is that so that we could save more time. And I think that's evident. I mean, a lot of our work now has been simplified because of technology. I mean, it's been automated. We could do things much faster these days. But instead of giving that dividend, that time dividend back to the employee, say, hey, look, you know, you've done the same amount of work for much shorter time. Now go back and rest and be. But instead, you put more things. You know, you pile up more work on your desk.
That's true. And sometimes, yeah, Charles, you're onto something because there are employers out there who kind of like punish employees who are productive. So the more productive you are, the more you deliver, the more you can get the work done, the more work you will get. You see what I mean?
That's true.
As opposed to if, from a boss's point of view, I've had this chat with some managers before because I wrote some articles when it comes to management and all that. And I asked, you know, why is it that some bosses, they punish employees who perform? Why punish performers when they finish their work early or they get things done fast and well? Why give them more work? And they say, oh, because they're reliable. We can trust them to get their work done well, as opposed to this other employee who we're not sure whether they can deliver above and beyond what they can do. So sometimes the, I guess the performers end up getting the shorter end of the stick.
Yeah, you're right. So I think, again, it's probably that traditional mindset, as you mentioned earlier, you know, that, and perhaps this is highlighting back, it's trying to remind us back exactly why we're working. You know, we're working to achieve something, but at the same time, whatever reward that you're getting from work, you're supposed to, you know, spend it out. And I think as an economy as a whole, it functions that way as well. You need to make money so that you can spend it. Then, you know, the cycle goes on and on and on. But one thing interesting I want to just highlight is the number of public holidays that we have.
That's right.
That's right.
In Malaysia.
Compare that to Singapore. I mean, I think if I've got my math right, I mean, we're about maybe about six extra public holidays more than them.
Okay, well, so, we're not complaining, are we?
Oh, no, we're not complaining. But, you know, that whole tip that we always had that, oh, dear, you know, how Singapore is doing better in some things. With the school holidays, public holidays is one of the reasons.
Well, tell us what you think, whether or not, excuse me, a shorter work week will boost your productivity at work, or will that dampen your productivity at work? So WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Joyce and Sharitz here with you this morning. Well, that's It's a Hard Life by Queen. Life might be hard at times, but what's often not hard to do is shopping, Sharitz.
That's right.
For a lot of us. Well, apparently there's this online recent article that some people, I mean, a lot of us are trending towards shopping online, but almost for everything, but perhaps not food.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Is that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've been bombarded with stats that e-commerce are doing well, Lazada over the, Christmas, before Christmas, they always have this. And then they record all this
11-11,
all this, yeah. Valentine's Day, record big numbers. So people are buying things online. People are going retail, doing retail online. Of course, that's affecting the retail market. But interestingly, this figure is not, you know, they don't share the same sentiment with regards to grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. Whereas I do wonder why, you know, if you know this, you know, speaking to some producers over here, they say that, you know, this, the fresh goods, you don't get to feel it, you don't mm-hmm. buy it. But how about the dry things, you know? So
yeah.
How about you, Joyce? I mean, have you tried buying groceries online before?
Not the fresh stuff.
Yeah.
I must say, I still need to go down to the ground to check the freshness of it and all that. So I guess it shows, right, when it comes to the Industry 4.0 kind of environment, it's all based on trust. So whether or not if you can trust that delivery person to deliver you fresh groceries that you approve of in a way, right? As opposed to, I do the dry goods, dry grocery goods online with Tesco and all that, the bulky ones, I think that helps. But fresh goods, not yet. I still go on my own to go buy my own groceries on in brick and mortar or in the wet market, yeah.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I mean, my wife and I, we would purchase things online. We'll do our rundown on what we need, and it's like you said, it's convenient to pay by a credit card, and next thing you get to select a date and time as to when they want to arrive, and once they arrive, everything's okay. So over the weekend, we go to the wet market, we get our stuff. But when we talk about trust, I mean, look, but one thing I peculiar is that when you buy retail stuff, for an example, I mean, these are stuff that you've never bought, you know, you don't buy every day. For example, electronic goods or even clothes. And you know, you trust them more than the things that you buy every day. For an example, cereal. I mean, you buy that every day in a box, right? And by the time they get to your home, you get to see the expiry date. So I think that there's something more to this as to, you know, I wonder if it's the joy of going to the supermarket and just walking aisle by aisle, and, you know, that's something that people don't want to let go. It's just that nostalgic feeling.
Yeah, the whole shopping experience when it comes to supermarket, but some of us don't have time. So that's where online shopping comes in. This article in The Atlantic is, we're going to tweet that out later. So it brings about, you know, this question, why people still don't buy groceries online. That seems to happen more in America. So it's very specific to America, because in South Korea, 20% of consumers buy groceries online. And UK and Japan, 7.5% of consumers do. So there is this trend of people buying groceries online, but it's more of, I guess, different countries, not so much in America. Perhaps, Charles, you may be onto something. Could be the whole experience of going to a supermarket, walking but the thing is, even for me, I prefer to go buy my dress in the proper, like walk into the shop and buy a dress. Yeah, to go pick out a dress. But the whole convenience factor, the whole time factor, I think this is where online comes in.
Yeah.
Right? I've only recently discovered online shopping for clothes. But yeah, it really saves you a lot of time.
See, but that's the point. I mean, Joyce, exactly. When you buy clothes, that's something that you don't buy often. And, you know, that's, you want to feel the color. And so, you know, you don't have the same shirt all the way. You don't have the same dress all the way. But it's not the case for cereals, like I said, for example, and milk. And I see the need of needing to be present at the retail shop. But one thing, though, is that there's grocery stores now. I mean, there's talk about, I don't know, I think we spoke about it last week, where they're reviewing, I mean, all this big hypermarkets, their margins are low, and I think it's reflected in this article as well. If this doesn't, you know, if this doesn't pick up, I wonder how this business is going to go. I mean, or just overall for retail, because there's a change in trend, I guess, and people don't want to go.
But
I'm confused, yeah.
Okay, I think definitely retailers need to keep up with the times, and you know, they have to re-strategize when it comes to putting out their products and how they sell their products. So tell us what you think. Do you shop online or offline? Tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We will go into a break soon, and we'll have the 6:30 a.m. news after that. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Joyce Goh and Sharitz Abdullah here with you on The Morning Run. That was Dancing in the Dark by Bruce Springsteen. A catchy tune for this Thursday that feels like a Monday? Kinda.
Yeah.
Well, now let's turn our attention to one of the big stories that happened a couple, well, yesterday and just kind of snowballed.
Just over the week.
Yeah, kind of snowballed and then boom, right? Mm. Yeah. Well, Youth Minister Syed Saddiq, he has been attacked by the founder of a local brand, House Boom, hence Kaboom, who claimed that, you know, the Youth and Sports Minister did not live up to his promise to promote the local soft drink. So I guess the question here is whether or not should the youth and sports minister, or any minister for that matter, be promoting specific products. So not talking about local products where, you know, in general, like macro, like they go around and they say, you know, go local lah, hashtag, or, you know, buy local products. Should they be going around to promote actual specific products?
Yeah, so this came after, you know, I think sometime last week where Syed Saddiq, Minister of Sports. Now, he also promoted a chocolate cake as well. So I think this is what triggered. And again,
yeah, that's what triggered House Boom. Found it.
Mm-hmm. So it was a specific chocolate cake by a local entrepreneur. And again, is that like your question is whether or not, a minister should go zooming in into micro, which is, you know, promoting a single product. And I think what we've used to, what we've been used to is that, you know, minister normally, they're mainly organizing all these platforms for, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs rather than one specific entrepreneur to promote their product. And then what ministers would normally do is they'll walk around and they'll have the media take photos of them with those products. I mean, that's to the extent. So everybody gets a fair share of the minister. So it's a question of, you know, how is this going to be sustainable? I mean, there's a million one product entrepreneurs out there. And I mean, is this going to be his main agenda every time he goes to a cabinet meeting? He has to go and promote one after another. And how is he going to manage all the grumbles of the grouses of people saying that, hey, look, when's my product is going to be next? I think this is a this is an unfortunate misstep on his side.
Yeah, and I think from the perspective of House Boom, I think for them, I think it was because the minister did say that he was going to help promote the product.
Yeah,
I think if you follow the story, that's how it kind of unraveled. And what came out from this was that Syed Saddiq said that he did bring up the product into cabinet meetings, and he even met businessman Tan Sri Vincent Tan, who has a majority stake in the convenience store chain 7-Eleven. Mm. And then you have Tan Sri Vincent Tan's kids coming onto social media to defend Syed Saddiq. Perhaps Syed Saddiq did bring this up, did bring up this local product House Boom. But again, it boils down to whether or not he should get involved in this whole nitty-gritty or be specific. Be so specific on the products that he is promoting. Is that fair to the other local products?
That's right. So I think it's whether or not, I think the intention is noble. I mean, he wants to try and develop the local entrepreneurs and so forth. But it's just a method at the moment. I mean, again, procedures are in place. I mean, process and procedures are in place so that, you know, we can try and be as fair as we can. I mean, to completely rely on trust. I mean, we trust him that he is independent. He has a group of people that are being independent. I mean, you're relying it based on people. I mean, how do you feel? Do you think you would trust processes and procedures more? For an example, due diligence going through, you know, certain processes, or would you rely on certain people to make that decision for you?
I think there should be a process for sure when it comes to the government, and, you know, because we've been burned so many times when it comes to potential leakages and all that, you know, whether or not you and I think it should be based on merit and how good the product is, not so much of because I know you, you know me, or because our dads are friends or anything of that sort. It's not to say that this local product is towards that. It could be a really good local product, but I think the gist here is it boils down to whether or not the minister should get involved with this. And also, this is the youth and sports minister. Is he in the whole entrepreneur? I think we have a division when it comes to entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah.
Or Miti, Maida, you know, of that sorts, right? So, well, tell us what you think. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Tell us whether or not, you know, a minister should should, or any, whether the youth and sports minister or any minister for that matter, be promoting specific products? Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Joyce and Sharitz here with you on The Morning Run. That was Blame It on the Boogie by the Jackson 5. Another great dance track to lead us into the weekend that's about 2 days away.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all your comments. We have Sharun WhatsApping in saying, you know, let the winner of reality TV show do the marketing. Winner of election, please stick to managing the country. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's in relation to our conversation on, you know, whether or not the youth and sports minister or any minister for that matter should be promoting specific local products.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, to be honest.
Yeah, well, speaking about the government, there's this new, there's some news flow coming up from this new law to protect neglected parents being planned. That's what's come out. This is according to the minister in the Prime Minister's department, Waida Muti. And what he's saying is that the government is willing to study the proposal to create a new law to protect parents who are being neglected by their children. But, you know, they would really need a detailed and in-depth study before it could be implemented.
Yeah, I think this is a positive step forward. I mean, I think we're moving beyond PSAs. I mean, if you remember, it's always during those festive season when you start seeing those really emotional ads, when you start seeing that families are being, you know, being left at kampong for a very long time. Then that's, you know, kids have not visited them throughout the year, and this is the time when they come and see them. And I think it's great that we're moving beyond trying to teach and advise people what is it they should do and taking it into the next level where a law could be in place. But rightfully, I think there should be a lot to think about. I mean, especially with regards to, you know, studying in depth as to, there's a lot of things that are in place here. For an example, earnings and facilities and so forth. I mean, but on your side, I mean, how do you feel about children and neglecting parents? I mean, just on the surface, I know it sounds bad, but what are the constraints do you think that is making this happening more rampant?
Well, it's quite sad that this is happening, especially in Asia, where, you know, our culture is very much, you know, to take care of family and all that. But I know a lot of older folks these days, they are a lot more realistic. Some of them say that, oh, I don't expect my kids to take care of me when I'm very old. But I think they're a lot more open to the concept of being checked into an old, not really those kind of old school, old age care, but the modern ones. You know, there are a lot of these new assisted living. I think I've had this interview with a company before, I think UM and also PHB. They're looking into this whole assisted living for the older age care kind of thing, where you're able, you're still okay, but you kind of need assistance when it comes to living. And it's very big in Japan, and it's not so old school where, you know, the traditional old folks home where it's not a very nice place to be in, and it can be quite sad and depressing. But these new ones are really very modern and very nice, and when you can hang out with people of your same age. So I think a lot of older folks now are a bit more open to that. But the fact that the government is looking into this new law, there must be a lot of statistics or statistics that show rising numbers, you know, of neglected parents.
Yeah, and I think based on personal experience, I think there is a lot of truth in here. I mean, for an example, my in-law, they organize a sort of like a secondhand charity shop where they sell secondhand items and collect money and then pass it over to all this old folks home. And from the stories I've heard, again, they are neglected. I mean, we're talking about the condition of these places and how they've been, and sadly, yeah, how they've been abandoned by their family. But, you know, what you mentioned just now as to this really lovely homes for parents to retire, where they get to be surrounded with their friends and assisted living, and they have nurses caring for them. And so, I wonder how much, you know, how much they cost, and whether or not, you know, their retirement savings that they have, can they afford to have that? And next thing, if they can't afford it, can the children top up? And,
Yeah, actually, I think it would be good if I try getting to the bottom of how much it will cost. So this is in the property show. If you'd like to listen to it, you can listen to it on the BFM app. It's called Banking on Senior Living. And this assisted living is by Perlaburan Hartanah Berhad, as well as UEM Group and also Medical Care Services, Inc. They've formed a JV to establish the senior living development here in Malaysia, where it's near a hospital as well. So it's kind of a new trend that's moving on. But yeah, tell us what you think, whether or not, you know, this move by the government, should there be a law to prevent children from abandoning their parents? WhatsApp into us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We actually have a comment coming in from June. This is on our conversation earlier on whether or not the youth and sports minister or any minister for that matter should be promoting specific local products. And June says that, you know, haven't we been down this road before? The ministry's involvement in this manner opens up the way to corruption and cronyism once again. So what she's saying is that there are other ways to help entrepreneurs, like tax incentives.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, at the level of the government, I mean, it's good to try and come up with policies instead of going zooming in into a specific product, as you said.
Yeah, well, we're going into a song right now, Jungle Boogie. Oh, we love boogie songs this morning, producer Roshan Kanasan. Well, this is by Cool and the Gang, and after that, the 7 a.m. news. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.